Morning, everyone. Greetings to each of you. Subject I would like to talk about today is humility. And since we are talking about humility, we certainly should be taking it for granted that the ugly word pride will be sticking its head up in here somewhere too. Pride always pokes its head in somewhere. We either will be living a life of humility or living a life of pride. For starters, what is humility? Humility is to offer oneself as lowly and submissive, to walk in a spirit of lowliness, to present oneself as lowly and low-lying in mind, to be of low degree and low rank, not to be high-minded, proud, haughty, arrogant, or assertive. Humility is a hard thing to talk about, at least it is for me. I don't know how you feel about it, but humility kind of looks like a dark, hard place to be. A humble person appears to be a coward at times and a bit slavish. Everyone else controls them. A humble person has no voice or say in any matter. This thought of humility has been on my mind for quite some time. I've been reading a bit about it, listening to other sermons about it, and I just really struggle with it. I didn't feel like I had a grasp on it enough to share about it because it really is a deep, deep subject. It really affects every single aspect of our life. One thing I learned is that I am a prideful person. And I want to confess that here this morning. I come to the conclusion that it's a continual thing. I am going to have to lay myself on the altar again and again. My desire is to live a life of humility, but it seems like anything I do can so easily become tainted and eventually steered to myself or for my benefits, for my ego. What does everyone think about me? Even if I do something good or honorable, I'd like to receive a compliment, at least. Can you identify with me in that at all? I believe it's human nature, so I'm thinking that you can in some form or another. Maybe this is true of other weaknesses in our lives too, but I wonder if it's not even worse when it comes to our pride. We think our pride just isn't that bad, or we got pretty good control of it. If we actually humble ourselves a little and evaluate ourselves and consider our prideful hearts, even then we so quickly veer off to the thoughts of others. They're really proud people, you know, who need help rather than we ourselves. And then as soon as we assume we are living a humble life, we start getting a bit smug about being humble. It seems like a completely lost situation, kind of, doesn't it? But it's not. I don't want to paint humility as some evasive thing that we can never attain to. The scriptures tell us otherwise, and we'll read some of those later on, and they will give us encouragement, I believe. Humility is attainable with the help of God. But let's face it, or let me face it in myself for you, as I had a chance to think about it for a while, and I'm going to talk in general terms, but I know it definitely includes me. We really are just pretty full of ourselves. I deserve some respect. I have some rights. He hurt my feelings. The way I do things is the most efficient and best way. If I have to take second or last place, why wouldn't it be fair that it's only 50% of the time instead of all the time? There was a survey done on a group of people, not real recent, but in 2009, I believe it was. It was about whether people thought that they were a genius or not. The survey was taken on a group of 2,800 Americans. The question was asked to each of them whether they were more intelligent than the average person. 65% of them felt that they were, with men more likely to agree to that than women. And I almost didn't include that last line, but it's good for us as men, I suppose. Put a little check on that pride. And we chuckle about the results of that survey because a genius IQ score is 140, right? And that is approximately 1 in 1,000. The point I'm getting at is we all consider ourselves pretty important. and feel that we had things put together pretty good. Yeah, maybe not number one, but just pretty good. We picture ourselves at the center of action. We picture ourselves as the one who made the daring rescue or saved the day. We picture ourselves as respected and admired. These things may not even remotely be the case, but somehow we really do like ourselves. Even when we don't even feel that good about ourselves, we really do matter to us. Did you ever hear of the Dunning-Kruger effect? The Dunning-Kruger effect is a cognitive bias in which people with limited competence in a particular domain overestimate their abilities. So that would be like me telling Regal that I know how to prune fruit trees, or Russell how to stucco. Maybe I even get myself into trouble in my own occupation and what I actually can do. Really, the more knowledge we gain, the more knowledge we realize we don't have. But in all seriousness, is that me? Am I so full of myself that I don't see God? That I don't see others and their abilities? I really believe that if we can truly think less about ourselves and focus on God and others, we will find out how small we really are, how little we can do on our own. We will find out how much better and how much more meaningful a life of humility is than a life of pride and self, how freeing it is. As we give ourselves in humility to God and others, we will be astounded at the depth of the knowledge of God especially, but also in other people too. Others can help us out a whole lot. The scriptures has a lot to say about humility, especially warnings on the pitfalls of pride. You may turn to Philippians 2 a while. I think that our best example of humility is Jesus. In fact, he is the perfect example, and that is why I want to read this passage. In the meantime, I'm going to read some verses scattered throughout the Bible. These verses are more specific to the calls for humility rather than the warnings of pride. We know many of those warnings by heart, I'm sure. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself, and so on. But calls to humility. Matthew 18:3-4, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 23:12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Ephesians 4:1-2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 3:12-13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels and mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you desire humility? Simplest answer is yes, I'm sure. We aspire to become like this, and that is good. But it needs to be more than an aspiration. It needs to be a reality. And if you're in Philippians 2 now, let's read verses 1 through 11. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This passage is a call to humility, but it is also a call to unity. Be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, of one mind. But even for unity and every other single godly thing, it's essential for humility to be in the hearts of believers, for any of this to be a reality. In fact, without humility, there will be no consolation in Christ, no comfort of love, no fellowship of the Spirit, no bowels of mercies. Pride destroys our relationship with God. It destroys our relationship with others. It destroys our lives, and it destroys our eternal souls. Humility, in contrast, sees the need for God and the need for forgiveness of sins. Humility also sees the need for the influence of others in our lives. It is extremely powerful, and you can see it at work in the church, home life, and the workplace. When each individual works for the broader good of everyone rather than for themselves, much is accomplished, and everyone has fun doing it. Everyone profits from it in so many ways. Let each esteem other better than themselves. All of us have a gift of some sort that we excel in, and we probably even enjoy doing it. Does this mean that when someone gives us a compliment about doing a good job, or they compliment us on a talent that we have, that we should just quickly try to lower ourselves and say, well, I'm not that good at it. You do way better than me, and so on. You know the drill. You know how it goes. It can end up being a bigger pride problem than just simply saying thank you and giving God the glory. Maybe it doesn't even have anything to do with compliments. Perhaps we constantly think or even vocalize our poor lot in life. Everyone's lives are better than ours. Everyone else has gifts that I wish I had. Others can do it better than me, so why even try? We're lonely. Nobody cares. Nobody has any idea how hard this is. Our focus is still stuck on ourselves. It's saying or showing that others are less important than me. But God's call is let each esteem others better than themselves. So how do we really do it? Well, we make it a point to make sure others aren't lonely. We compliment others on their gifts. We rejoice when good things happen to others, and we grieve with those who have misfortunes and losses. Our ambitions, desires, positions, and wants really don't mean that much to us. We focus on others. We say it's hard to find that balance between how much we do for ourselves and how much is left to do for others. Is it really right to say that we need some time for ourselves? God will give us wisdom in this, and we know that Jesus himself took time apart to rest a while and so on. But when we compare to Jesus, I myself know that I don't measure up to the sacrificial, humble life Jesus lived. It is calling us to the mind of Christ in this. We think we are somebody and we deserve our things. Jesus was somebody. He really deserved recognition and worship. He was God. He is God. Yet he humbled himself. He became a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We are mere humans, and yet we struggle with humility, with getting down off our pedestals when we really aren't on one already, except in our own puffed up minds. Do I have humility in my life? What are some evidences of humility? A humble person will have a childlike spirit. We read near the beginning Jesus' call to become as a child. He called a little child, set him in the midst of the disciples, and told them, you need to be like a child. Childlike simplicity, innocence, and love. Quick to forgive and move on. They adore and admire and don't try to prove any point. Submissive. Again, Jesus is the prime example of that, but made himself of no reputation. He wasn't concerned at all about how things looked. He was set on pleasing the Father and saving mankind. A humble person will be a lowly person. Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant, serving others, not concerned about ego and standing in society. In fact, a humble person prefers to be out of the spotlight. The Bible talks about the proud being made low. I'm sure that every person has had instances where they were brought low simply because they were too full of themselves. I can think of times in my life, even as a young boy, as an adult too, for that matter. That's humiliation. That's wounded pride. A humble person makes the choice to take the focus off himself. A promise God gives to the humble is that they will be exalted, lifted up. But even in that state, a humble person will still be lowly in heart. After all, it never is about us. It still goes back to our Creator, the realization of the helplessness and total dependence upon God. This will cause us to stay of lowly mind. A humble person will have meekness. It's a very similar thought to lowliness, but it goes a bit further and has the idea of not taking offense. Jesus was meek. He opened not his mouth when he was falsely accused. You know, when someone has something to say about us that is false, or even true for that matter, we quickly go up to defend ourselves. That's not meekness. Meekness is responding in prayer for them. Meekness is not saying anything, or if we do say something, it is loving and forgiving in nature. And it is evaluating ourselves. Maybe what they have to say to us is true. Many times it is. A humble person is simple. It will be evident in our countenance, a proud look. We all know what that looks like in others. Simplicity will be evident in our speech. It will be evident in our attire and ways of life. Simplicity brings peace of mind in so many ways. There isn't this mad craze to keep up with our friends and neighbors. We will be more concerned about touching lives and making a difference for them, rather than what we hope they think about us. I know in my heart how freeing it is to be okay with simplicity and to not have any impressions to make, but it's another thing to completely let it go in real life. Can you imagine what it would be like if it didn't matter what other people thought about us in any single area of life? That can be a sign of carelessness too, I get that, but it could also be what we accuse humble people of. Maybe they are just living a simple life to the best they know how. Live a life of simplicity and people will really enjoy being around you. They won't have that pressure to try to live up to your means and so on. I'm sure we could look at both sides of the spectrum and think of people whom we don't enjoy being around because we are scared we'll say the wrong thing or break something or just not do something right. They got the edge. But how about the other side? There are others, it just really seems easy to get along with them. And you feel right at home the moment you step into it. You don't feel judged, and you can just totally feel, be yourself. We generally just call them very nice people. But I believe that the real reason is that they are just humble people. They aren't caught up with themselves. They live simple lives. They live a life of humility. Along with simplicity, a humble person will be modest. We talked about false pretense and how in our pride we try to make ourselves not proud. A modest person will use his gifts wisely and his blessings from God for God's glory. Again, I hope that you have people in your life that you can see this at work. God has blessed them with gifts and material things too, maybe, and yet they are modest about it. They in turn use it for God's glory and share it with others. They don't necessarily have all the latest and greatest. A humble person is modest. Humility in others really looks like a beautiful thing, so why not make it a part of our life? Well, we do know that it goes against human nature. It's painful to our human nature. Pride will constantly try to assert itself into our life. So what are some reasons we should desire humility and make it a part of our life? Well, we saw that God commands it. We are called to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We are called to put on humbleness of mind, be clothed with humility, walk in lowliness. God also loves it. He cherishes it. There is the highest standard of greatness. He says in Matthew that the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Another reason to live a life of humility is that God condemns the proud. God hates even a proud look. It's in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 26:12, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." James 4:6, "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And what do the scriptures also say about who will be in the lake of fire? The proud. It's in the list. God hates pride so much. Let's make humility our way of life. Humility also is worth it because of all the trouble and hardships it will never know. Unlike pride, full of pain, sorrow, and judgment, humility avoids judgment. Think about the Ninevites. Judgment was coming because of their sin, but they humbled themselves, and judgment was averted. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Humility is worth it, not only because of the trouble it averts, but also because of the blessings it brings. Proverbs 22:4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." James 4:7, "God gives grace to the humble." And did you notice how so many of the verses we read earlier spoke of the humble being lifted up, the humble being exalted? I suppose that can be deceiving in itself, and maybe that is why some faithful people lose out at times. They have been blessed in their humility, and Satan and human nature slowly put a foothold into the life. But a truly humble person will hardly notice his exalted state. The glory will go to God. And another factor in all of this is, if we are looking for exaltation through humility, we will surely miss it, as humility is lost as soon as we desire exaltation. Let's desire humility. In the final part of the message, I just have random thoughts to ponder about humility. I don't really have any order, and maybe some of them are just reinforcing what we already talked about. Humility is a wonderful thing. We saw that. We desire it, I believe. It's good and right to pray for humility. However, when we pray for this, too often we are praying for the idea of humility rather than the reality of humility. We talked about that. So we get so obsessed with becoming humble that we aren't humble. Humility is looking outward. Is taking an interest in the things of God, of course, but in practicality is taking an interest in others. I'm not super good with remembering names, and sometimes I forget even familiar people's names. I was talking with someone about this in friendly conversation one time, and they agreed that they had the same problem. But he said someone gave him something to think about, and I think it carries a bit more weight than I'd like to admit. Does their name really matter to me? Do I take an interest in others' lives? If I was less concerned about telling them my story and the things about my life, that possibly I'd remember more things about them, including their name. Memory is a gift, but part of it also is a mindset. In home life, in church life, and in work, humility is critical for all areas of our life. It won't work to pick only certain areas that we practice humility in. If we aren't working it out in our personal lives and in our everyday living, it's not going to be working out very well in our brotherhood either. So what about in our brotherhood? I do believe that I see humility here. I believe that about you. I see it. I know I do. What if I think I don't at times? Doesn't that really come back to me? I think pride needs to be addressed in brotherhood, and we ought to challenge each other on it more than we do. It's probably one of the most difficult things to do. But that whole brotherhood address thing is super important and too infrequently practiced. The thing about it, though, I think it is that most of the time when we try to lay a finger on someone else's pride, we actually are dealing with the pride problem in our very own hearts. What did Jesus say? First, cast out that mote. That bigger thing that is already in thine own eye. A critical spirit is a heart of pride. Contrast that with a heart of compassion and humility. If you want some heavy reading, I recommend a book titled Humility, written by Andrew Murray. I suppose this is where the sermon idea birthed from for me, and at the same time turned into way more than I really expected. And it is. Humility is way beyond ourselves. We have to let go and let God take control. Some thoughts from this book, just a short quote. First, the highest lesson a believer has to learn is humility. Another quote from page 22. Every Christian virtually passes through two stages in his pursuit of humility. In the first, he fears and flees and seeks deliverance from all that can humble him. He has not yet learned to seek humility at any cost. He has accepted the command to be humble and seeks to obey it, though only to find how utterly he fails. He prays for humility, at times very earnestly. But in his secret heart, he prays more, if not in word, than in wish, to be kept from the very things that will make him humble. He is not yet so in love with humility as the beauty of the Lamb of God and the joy of heaven that he would sell all to procure it. In his pursuit of it, and in his prayer for it, there is still somewhat of a sense of burden and a bondage. To humble himself has not yet become the spontaneous expression of a life and a nature that is essentially humble. It has not yet become his joy and only pleasure. He cannot yet say, "Most gladly do I glory in weakness. I take pleasure in whatever humbles me." But can we hope to reach the stage in which this will be the case? Undoubtedly. And what will it be that brings us there? That which brought Paul there, a new revelation of the Lord Jesus. Nothing but the presence of God can reveal and expel self. Good to read another paragraph from page 14. And whence comes it that men who have joyfully given up themselves for Christ find it so hard to give up themselves for their brethren? It is not to blame with the church. It has so little taught its sons that the humility of Christ is the first of the virtues, the best of all the graces and powers of the Spirit. It has so little proved that a Christ-like humility is what it, like Christ, places and preaches first, as what is in very deed needed and possible too. But let us not be discouraged. Let the discovery of the lack of this grace stir us to larger expectation from God. Let us look upon every brother who tries or vexes us as God's means of grace, God's instrument for our purification, for our exercise of the humility Jesus, our life, breathes within us. And let us have such faith in the all of God and the nothing of self, that as nothing, our own eyes, we may, in God's power, only seek to serve one another in love. Humility is powerful because it is completely letting go of self and letting God have control. It allows God's power to work. It feels so complicated and hard to be an humble person because we itemize every single thing that is important to us about what humility requires of us and what is going to affect it, what is going to affect in our life. In reality, it is very basic. It's one attitude change. One heart condition that makes all the difference. If we are still wrestling with the complicated parts of it, we probably don't truly know the depths of the meaning of walking in humility. Do I make that one heart condition change? Surrender my life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. I truly believe that as we do this together as a brotherhood, we have many, many more amazing things to look forward to. And I'm excited to take that step with you. Let's press on together with the grace of God. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this beautiful spring morning. We pray that you would just help us to have the joy in our hearts, the joy of serving you, and also the joyfulness of serving you in humility. Help us to find that in our lives, each of us personally. Help us to get rid of self and to allow you to have complete control. Pray that you would bless those who are here this morning, those who are traveling, who are sick. Pray that you would give them thy grace. Help us to all serve you faithfully this week. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.